Hi everyone, it's Diane with the Unapproved Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. This is going to be a little more casual. I think I may have mentioned in my last podcast that I'm working with format, and I am kind of getting tired of the whole inauthentic copy what everybody else is doing kind of thing. So if you don't mind a little roughness, I kind of want to treat this like talking on the phone because it's much more casual. I think that hopefully it doesn't feel like I'm droning on like sometimes the news. And I just want to talk to you about some things. And I think it'll also give me a little looser vibe so it's not so boring for you. Okay. I also noticed I say so a lot. And there's another one. I digress. Anyway, so what I want to talk to you about, I'm a little late getting this out, but this month, March, I've been focusing on kind of fear, faith over fear. And we've seen those signs all over the place. As we go through challenges in life, sometimes different things trigger us. And faith over fear fucking triggered me. That's a religious trauma response because there is nothing behind that sign except for just words, faith over fear. And if you're outside of the United States, I don't know if you've seen these, and maybe, heck, maybe it's a southern thing. I don't know. Because I'm living in the southeast of the US, so I'm not sure if I mean, I've talked to people where I've seen stuff in Florida, and people up north, North United States has not seen it. So I digress, but faith over fear, if you've seen these signs, they can be triggering for some of us who've gone through some of this judgmental, very abusive use of religion. And so I have trauma from that. And so those signs would really bother me. It felt more like a religious dogma, like just kind of a marketing piece than really anything behind it. However, ladies and gentlemen, I have discovered the faith over fear, what it's like. And I want to share that with you because I don't know if there's others out here who kind of have the same response that I do. I'm sorry, when I see signs and stickers and shit that are saying that kind of stuff, I get a little bitchy about it, to be straight. Why? Because people, when you do stuff like that over time, nobody hears it anymore. It's kind of like the car alarms. If anybody's here is old enough to remember when car alarms came out, everybody had them or everybody wanted them. And so if a car alarm went off because they were new to all of us, we would look. And so they were helpful. But nowadays, when a car alarm goes off, I don't even think people pay attention. And so it's because we've gotten so used to that noise. So that's kind of how I get to this point. The faith over fear, for me was a lot of bullshit religious stuff. However, family-wise, we've recently gone through a challenge in which I had to actually put that into play. I had to actually lean in to my spirituality. I had to lean into everything I talk to you guys about and everything I teach my students and everything that I work with my clients on. I had to lean in hard. And I have a huge belief, like I hang on to this. Maybe it's a knowing that everything that I go through, I'm just a few steps of someone I need to help, if that makes sense. So everything that I'm going through, I have to go through all of this so that I can better have information in my database, so to speak, experience for the empathy to work with my client. And so that's what I'm working on. And faith was the big one this time. Faith that we wouldn't fall homeless. Faith that we had enough to get us through. Faith that there was a reason we were going through what we were going through. Faith that we were strong enough to work through this together as a family. And faith that it was getting us somewhere. There's a reason for everything. That is the key. Having faith that there is a reason for everything, that I'm here for a reason, I'm going through this for a reason, that sort of thing. That's where faith comes in for me. It isn't having faith that some, I don't know, I want to be careful because I think I've talked a little bit about how spirituality versus religion. Spirituality is more, is less about following somebody's specific rules, and if you don't, this is what's going to happen, and all these horrible, horrible man-made rules and laws and fear-based, which is interesting. Now that I think about those signs, how religious is fear-based, but yet they're putting out faith over fear signs. I just kind of had a moment there for a second. Anyways, instead of leaning in on something like that, if we lean in on understanding that we're here for a reason, that like I have a hard time believing that we are just here to float around and experience things because I'm a medium. I've talked to spirit. I know I get the messages. And the reason I can have faith in those messages is because they're not for me. And my clients can confirm what I'm saying is like the person. So if I believe in all of that, if I have faith in that, then why wouldn't I have faith that universe is going to has set us up in a way that this all has meaning. That's really what this is about. Just understanding that everything has meaning. So that's where this topic came up. And again, like I said, I was super excited because we've come out on the other side of this, and it was just much easier because I didn't fight it with fear. And what does that look like? Just to kind of give you an example. So, if you go through a hard time, and we know, like, okay, so you have to plan out. You're going to panic first. That's okay. Breathe into that. Allow the panic because you have to offload that. You have to experience that, or else it's just going to build in your body. So, tears, frustration, what have you, but deal with it in a healthy way. Whether that's, if you need to talk it through with therapist, if you need to walk, journal, do these things to support that panic, but process it, okay? Allow it to process. Then, after I did that part of it, the panic, what do we do? Then I went into planning mode. Okay, my mind shifts into this planning mode. Okay, let's take control. When we take control of the situation in a healthy way, when we take control of our challenge in a healthy way, then we're not living in the unknown, which is fear. Does this make sense? So, how did I take control? So, I took control by sitting down and working through like family budgets and what kinds of things we could make changes to and what was our needs versus our wants. And that and then I went into okay, what's the worst case scenario? So I went right there. Because I feel like if you go into your worst case scenario and you make a plan for that, Now you have a plan for the worst case scenario and you're not worrying about it, because if we hit that lever, if we get to that red line, then it's go time for these items. So you can plan that, have it kind of on the shelf as your emergency plan. Now that gives your brain room to process the rest. Okay, so okay, now we got that out of our way. Okay, so then we just kind of went into what do we got to do mode. And so we worked on what we needed to do to get up out of it. And that was very diligent work. It wasn't my work. I was a passenger in this situation. So, which makes it even harder for someone like myself, because even though I'm I guess, spiritualist, I'm an empath, I'm an intuitive, even though I know things are going to work out, that doesn't keep my ego from overriding all of that. That's the faith part. This is what I'm, so we have to override the ego. We can't let the ego override us. The ego is that fear based. The ego is the one that tells us, oh my God, this happened, so now this is going to happen. And it's always the scary. It's the one that kind of hangs in your brain, which is why you have to take control. And it's kind of like a little monster. And if you let it, if you don't tame the ego, which has its, for sure, its uses, but if you don't tame the ego for enduring challenging times, that monster can take you down some really bad holes. So we have to tame it, and that's through planning. Okay, so taking time to panic, process your panic, and then put into a plan of all the worst case scenarios in here, and then the plan of how you're getting yourself out. Okay, so you kind of reverse engineer. So you work from the worst, because that's where your panic is, and then you get that conquered, and then you work backwards. Okay, got that done. Now, budgets or, whatever it might be. Then you go into solutions. Okay, how do I remedy this situation? So if it's something like, let's use an example. Like, let's say, I was the main breadwinner of a home and I lost my job. So my first panic button is, oh, I'm going to lose everything. Okay. What's that look like? How does that work, function? What can we do? So like I already talked about, I would go into that plan. Okay. Planning, blah, blah, blah. If it was my job, then when I went from panic to planning for the worst, to then I would do my budgets, figure out where there's money if we need to pull, contact banks, do whatever you got to do, right? So get your ducks in a row on that level, so you know, okay, bills are getting paid, or if they're not, people understand it. I've made the calls to smooth over the situation, so I don't start getting phone calls for not paying a bill. I've already arranged things. Do you see what I mean? Like, kind of pad the situation, get things organized so that you're not getting all of that excess stress. So this might be the empath in me, but I really, really try to prevent as much chaos as possible. This may be a trauma response too. It's probably all the above, but I see no downside to it, because if it helps us process things, and it also gets us prepared, and it gives our brain some relief from worry, I see no downside to this. So plan, 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 plan is your planning is your friend. Okay, so if that was the case, so now I've got that into place. And this happened to me back in the day, so this is also how I can kind of walk through it with a more direct versus theoretical discussion. Okay, so if I did that, and then the next step is, okay, now I have to get a job. Okay, I have to get money coming in this scenario. What's that look like? How do I get money coming in? And in this time of my life, that was I was I was by myself, so I didn't have anybody else bringing anything in, and so it was all on me. So what did I do? So I needed to start putting things into action. In this case, for a new job, I made phone calls to like temp agencies. And that way I had an agency that I worked with to find me part-time work to just fill in the gap. Because a lot, you can easily get temporary work for 4 hours here and 6 hours there kind of stuff, or fill in a day here or there, especially if you know how to answer any phone. There's always a receptionist somewhere calling in. If you can do that, and that way you get a few hours, you get the money coming in. Then I had another agency that I worked with that was a little more professional in terms of looking for professional work versus hourly work. And I had them looking for full-time work for me. So those two things kept me feeling like I was doing something. I wasn't just sitting at home. Okay. Now here's the next key. I just said that, and that's something that I wanted to bring up. Give yourself space. Don't. So when we panic, we tend to eat up our day with panic instead of healthy activities. So in this case, there were two scenarios. I've lost my job a couple times, so I can talk about this kind of, and these are examples for whatever it is, but these are just two examples of when I panicked and when I didn't. So the first round, could never have lost a job. I went home, I panicked, I made all those calls, I did all that planning, but the panic stuck with me and that fear stuck with me. So I ended up just sleeping a lot. It was harder than necessary. So then by the time I did get a job, I was still very much on edge because I was still in fear. And it took me some months in that job to finally release that fear, because it was very traumatic for me to lose a job the first time. The second time, I understood the process a little better, number one, but I was older, number two. But because I had, gone through it once, I understood, okay, when I did this, it didn't work out so well. So this time I'm going to try it and not fight it. Now, I still lived with fear. But I did live more in along the lines, and this was naturally, it just kind of intuitively came to me, was there's a reason for everything. And that brings me to my next point. If we live in that, we can learn from what we're going through. And if we feel like we're getting something out of this, I feel like we're more productive through that process. And that helps us get out of the fear. Because now there's meaning to this. Okay, so all right, well, I've lost my job and maybe I needed a break because they were beating me down. And okay, now I can recover. And I can fill in a lot of color and descriptors into the story, but you understand the process. So the looking for a job would be living in it, right? But don't live in fear. Look for the job, or solve, make the calls, do whatever it is you need to do to solve the problem. Do your action items, but do it with a sense of completing checklist items, and we're moving forward. Everything I'm doing is taking me closer to the finish line. No, maybe I didn't get a job today, but I did apply to a bunch of them. I did revamp my resume. I did learn something new for a job that I want. I did learn more about a company. Do you see everything you do? If you see everything that you're doing as progress, moving you forward, and lean less into what do I do? What do I do? The planning will get you through, and the planning gives you space to breathe, and that space gives you allows you the faith. So it's just, like I say, it isn't that easy. But if we can breathe into, okay, I'm here for a reason. What do I need to get from this? Or why did they move me out of that position? And what I saw, and now in retrospect for me, the jobs that I was moved out of were because I was growing out of those positions and I was ready for the next stage, But my generation was taught to be very loyal to companies. And so universe had to move me out. And I know that sounds woo-woo for my non-believers, but that's really it, because every time I just outgrew the position. And however you want to look at it, I outgrew it. I rubbed people wrong, or they rubbed me wrong, and the energy itself was not good. And I either quit or got fired or laid off. I didn't get fired for bad behaviors or anything, but I just didn't fit the position anymore. I outgrew it and I wanted more. And so it worked that way. And it was interesting because the number three is a number for me, comes up often, and it's also a spiritual number that pops up a lot. So about at my 3 year mark would be the time I'd start be getting uncomfortable with my jobs. So watching for those kind of signs also help you prepare. So if you start feeling uncomfortable, the job doesn't seem to be what it used to be, it's time to look and be proactive, okay? Because we're learning things as we go. Okay. And because this is like talking on the phone, you may hear me bounce around. My apologies. But that's how you take control of the panic, by planning. Okay. So now you're in it. Okay. You're working through, you're applying with using the job as the scenario. You're applying to old jobs. What do you do in between all of that? Or if you're like me, maybe I'm not in the driver's seat of the life's challenge. Maybe I'm in the passenger seat. So what do I do? What do we do with this time? Well, we make use of the downtime by taking care of ourselves. Okay? Things that I found this time around that were really super helpful, and I was determined in my head that I was not, that's part of this too. I was very determined I was not going to let this put me back into depression mode, that I was not going to let this control me, that I was going to understand what I needed to learn from this situation, or how I needed to help others through this situation and learn from that. But for I needed to see its purpose. And the purpose is what got me through it without the panic, without the panic taking over. Yes, we had a there was a moment of panic, of course, like I said, but by seeing the purpose and taking control and planning, those things have been such a game changer. What are my other game changers? Journaling, number one. I started implementing more self-care items specific to getting through this. So, yes, I've always done walks. Yes, I've done journaling, but that's been intermittent. And the journaling was done differently. And I'll get into that a little bit. But I started just rec I started pulling in to recognize what I was feeling in my own body. So if I felt extra tired, I would take a nap, but I wouldn't allow myself to sleep all day. I made it a point to plan my days out so I had purpose. Again, back to planning, right? And the other thing is, I did this stuff one bit at a time. I didn't try to go, okay, we're in a challenge. Now we're gonna journal for 15 minutes every day. We're gonna go for a walk for 30 minutes every day at 2 o'clock. We're going to, like, I didn't do that because nothing fucking adds more stress than adding more stress, right? You can't do that. So instead, I implemented what felt good in the moment. Okay, so what felt good in the moment? You guys may hear my dog in the background. So, journaling was one thing that I found that when I did journaling, it let me offload all my fears and it helped me see them. And the other part of this, you guys, is when you let go and you just start writing, when you release and you open in it, and sometimes it helps to have an intention, and this isn't always. It's helpful. I don't want to say it's always necessary, but I do think it ends up being that way when whether you plan it or not. But if you have an intention, which might be What do I need to get from today? You can just start writing just that sentence, maybe even. And as you write, just start writing all the words that come to your mind. And just focus on that. You know how if you do yoga or any type of breath work, they talk about envisioning the breath coming in and the breath going out? Envision the words. And if you focus on just the word, writing one word at a time, whatever comes to your mind, you may be shocked at what answers come from that journaling. But I didn't make it a big scientific project. I didn't make it like super formal. I did happen to, because I'm a morning girl, I did get up. I am a more, get up early. So I just use that time when everybody is sleeping to have my coffee, grab my journal and my pen, and just sit down and write. And sometimes that writing might have tears involved as part of the processing. But it has helped offload any fears that I had. It has allowed me to see solutions as I process, because it's like you're processing in real time. And it's not all in your brain, so you're able to make room for the processing in your brain because you've offloaded some things, right? So if you're thinking of your brain like a room, and you have your bed and your side tables and a TV stand and all the things, and you have to rearrange and move that bed from one side to the other, you kind of have to take some things out of the room to make room to move that bed around. And that's sort of the analogy for this, is you have to take what's in your brain and get it down on paper or get it out so that it makes room for you to see the solutions. I mean, think about all the words that are the thoughts in your brain bouncing all over the place. It's super helpful to get it down on paper so that you can see it. And I know people, if you're into the electronic journaling or just talking and doing voice note journaling and that sort of thing, if that helps you, great. I'm not going to change your process, but I highly recommend just going and buying a cheap $4, $3 journal, or some sort of notepad, and just write on that. The process of pen to paper, there is a scientific study, I've seen it a few different times, that they talk about how it's super helpful. It's a thing. So I digress in that little tangent, but do the processing by writing. Okay, the next thing, so journaling helps. The other thing that helped me was giving myself the grace. So if I was struggling and I needed a nap, I would nap. Okay. Let me look at my list here. So I was trying to think. I wrote it down like a mantra, but it's not. It's just that saying that I keep talking about. It's all for a reason. I need to find the reason. That gives you purpose during your challenge. And when I tell you about all these things, when you're focused on doing all of this stuff, do you know what happens? You're less focused on how long it's taking you to get through this challenge. We've been through, I think it was about 5 or 6 months. And although it was difficult, do not get me wrong, it wasn't as hard as 3 months of a similar situation that we went through. Because life is life, and you're going to have your ups and downs. But it's how you deal with it. And it's sort of funny because my dad used to say that about money. It doesn't matter how much you make, it's what you do with it and it's how you manage it. Today might be a little bit different, but in general, it's that same thing. Okay? It doesn't matter that you go through the challenge, it's what you do with it. Are we going to be victims or are we going to be conquering this? Are we going to take what we need from it and use that to propel us forward? You have two choices. Probably more, but really, are you going to let it get you or are you going to get it? And then, if it is in the case of losing a job, then you have all of the skill set and stamina that you've built up getting through that process. Okay? But by doing it this route, it keeps you from being in it in your headspace all the time. Go out. You don't have to be stapled to the house. Go for a walk. Go for a hike. You know, we got where we went downtown and just wandered and looked through the windows for, you know, whatever. So, and it did make the process a lot easier and have meaning. Okay? So see the meaning in the process. Other things that got me through, I did gardening. I love to garden, so that's not a real stretch. But it did really help me. I remember one day I was going through a moment of, I wouldn't say panic, but just processing, okay, some disappointment. And so I had to pull weeds anyways. I just went out and started pulling a few weeds, which turned into a couple hours. And by the time I got done, I had pretty much walked myself through what was that fear, that panic, and was on the other side, calm, cool, and had a solution, wasn't worried anymore. So that really helps. Find what works for you, but you don't need to do a ton of these. If exercise is your thing, I love doing yoga, but I didn't do 45 minutes yoga. Sometimes it might be when I was caretaking and I needed to take care of my brain, sometimes I just needed 10 or 15 minutes of movement because all the movement helps get rid of that negative energy. And so it helps put you in a better place and process things. So if that's what it is, you don't have, if that's, listen, 30 minutes a day exercise, yes, is very good. But when you're going through something like this, I feel like this is me. I'm not a doctor, but for me, as long as I know I didn't like, okay, I'm just going to give myself 15 minutes to move. Maybe that turns into a 45 minute thing. Maybe a 5 minute walk turns into a 30 minute walk, but I don't put that pressure on myself because that's the point. You're already putting pressure on yourself. Allow, okay? Allow yourself a 10 minute walk, and if it turns into 30, great. But don't do to yourself what the world and universe is doing to you right now. This is our lesson, is what we do with it. And I'll tell you, when you allow things to move past you, this energy of change to flow instead of trying to stop it by fighting it with fear and anger and all the things, it's so much smoother. And you're happier and you're healthier. Okay? So don't fight it, just process it. Maybe that's the easiest way to look at it. Look as each challenge as a process to get through. Okay? Just like when you get a new job, you have the process of starting a new job. Okay? So that I think is kind of it. I know it sounds sort of short, but I really didn't want to go on and on about it. I really want to share with you my processes, what I'm learning. And I put this into two articles on my Substack, which is Trust Issues by Diane. I think I keep just telling you trust issues and that's somebody else's. Mine is Trust Issues by Diane on Substack. My website is oakandtuskguidanceservices.com. I have a list of my services, a little bit about me, and that too is evolving because I'm learning more and more about myself and how I want to define who I am and what I want to let go of and what I want to keep. And as I go through that, if you're a follower, a consistent follower, you'll see that change and evolve. And I hope it inspires you to change and evolve and not just inspire you to change and evolve, but I hope it inspires you to accept your changes and evolution as a good thing. And if you accept them and grow from them, well, I guess I should say, if you accept them and choose to grow from them, then you will evolve and progress. If you choose to fight any change that goes on in your life and become a victim, it will take you down harder than a rock. So it's your choice. You can either stand up and be badass and take it on, allow that winds of change to blow past you and you just work through that wind and instead of the fighting. It's a whole different thing, you guys. Okay. I think I said enough. Hopefully these pointers help you. I am going to be putting together a series of videos. I'm doing this via Substack. So you can subscribe to me on Substack without paying. So if you have been in there and kind of looking around like, I want to read her stuff or I want a follower, but I don't want to pay, you don't have to. It is free subscription. The thing that I'm going to be doing with the paid is the are these like these videos, self-help, and it'll be kind of like a instead of a full-on class, they'll just be once a week little videos, and these will be like little things for you to try. Like this week we'll try journaling, and if that works for you, keep journaling. The next week we'll try doing 10-minute walks, and I'll give you pointers on that, and you'll get a newsletter with a little video, and then it will have some things in writing to kind of give you so like if it's journaling, it'll be some maybe journaling prompts. If it's the walking, then it'll maybe be some thoughts for walking meditation ideas. This sort of thing, once a week, take what you need, absolutely leave the rest. That's what I'm going to be doing on Substack. And I think I might even try to do something here on the podcast with it. But we shall see. So, thank you so much for following me. I appreciate that you're stuck with me this long. I appreciate that you're on the ride for evolution. I have so many different ideas, so I'll try not to be too random about it, but it might get random, which to me might make it kind of fun. Oh, before I go, let me give you a quick card read because I feel like it's important. Do to do. Okay, so the cards for this one, these are my vintage wisdom cards. I love these cards. They're kind of all about me. I love any kind of wisdom I could get from a grandparent or an elder I took, so these kind of fit me. Okay, so I'm just going to pull one and see what it says. This is a card. It says purity. I'm seeing a lot of green, which is heart chakra. I'm getting there's flowers, and it's a woman who looks like she came from sort of a wedding in that sort of dress. So what do I get from this? So I'm asking for what this means for all of you, okay? And the word on the bottom is purity. This doesn't feel like pure as in like a virgin pure. This is about purity in terms of thoughts. How do we release this negative, hateful energy and lean in on the purity of our kindness and human side? I know this sounds a bit weird, but that's not the feeling with this card is very much about maybe try today instead of finding anger in something, instead of seeing it as a shitty moment or a shitty person or that sort of energy. Maybe see it as, okay, asshole pulled out in front of me. Let's change that thought process. Let's change it to a more pure thought. What we say about the guy just pulled out in front of us is our energy putting that on them. They haven't said a word to us. They're in their own bubble, their own world. So let go of that and instead focus on you. Okay, so the dude pulled out in front of you. He's obviously have some place to go. Give him the space and talk yourself through not choking it. But that. I know that sounds crazy, but the idea with this card really is about just allowing. Have pure thoughts, don't be angry, and see the energy shift around you. Okay? Don't let the heavy energy, the energy vampires, the angry people around you, don't let them weigh you down. Okay? In order for this world Earth to progress, we have to lighten up. We have to raise the vibration. In order to do that, it has to start somewhere. We can't, and negative, heavy vibration is that hate and anger and wanting to choke the dude. But if we can instead lift ourselves up and see it as just a moment in time, like somebody pulled out in front of you. Okay, you didn't get hit. It made you hit your brakes, but that's it. That's really it. If we can take that and instead of hanging on to the heavy and changing it to the light and wish them well, we won't be carrying that energy, and that's more what it's about. We won't be carrying that, so then you won't be spreading that negative energy when you go to the store because now you're pissed because the guy pulled out, so you're carrying that into the store, and then you, that's heavy negative energy. Other people pick up on it, so then the lady at the teller is bitchy towards you because she can see you, looking grumpy. Do you see how that feeds like a whole domino situation? So don't give that to the world. We have to lift up. We have to lift our vibration. That's what that means. So for my skeptics, when you hear people talk about lifting vibration, that's what we're talking about. Being happy, bringing the happy, bringing sunshine. Okay? So let's work on that. Let's work on changing any kind of situation we see into a purpose and any kind of negative experience, like these sorts of moments, lift the vibration. If we do that for each other, think of the change we can make. That's my goal, to teach all of you and help all of you make the changes so that you're on that higher vibrational timeline, up and above all of this negative stuff. We can have negative things, but it doesn't have to be negative. Does that make sense? Then that you can look at a challenge as negative, or you can look at a challenge as just that, a challenge, something you have to learn from. Okay? Okay. Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate your time. I'm not even going to edit this, so if there were blank moments where you're like, what the fuck, where'd she go? My apologies. Sometimes that's just how I talk. So enjoy your day. Enjoy the month. I promise I will get better at getting these out by the middle of each month. It's just kind of crazy. So I'm getting back on track. Thanks again. Feel free to reach out to me. You can reach me at Diane Reiser at Oak and Tusk Guidance Services.com, or you can also reach me through Substack. So again, it's Trust Issues by Diane on Substack. Thanks again. Have a great day.